name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace and the peace of God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. As we prepare to celebrate the mystery of Christ, we call to mind our sins and the mercy of Jesus. We have sinned against you by rashly judging others. We have sinned against you by selfishness. We have sinned against you through stubbornness. We have sinned against you through gossip. We have sinned against you through hatred. And we have sinned against you by giving in to hopelessness. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May
Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting.
Amen.
Let us pray. O God, beyond all human boundaries, your deeds of power take place, and your healing mercy is at work. Ours is not to restrict the wonders of your saving grace, but to give joyful thanks for your compassion, wherever we find it. Teach us to use well the riches of nature and grace, to care generously for those in need, and to look carefully to our own conduct. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. Receive the word of God and instruct those into whose care they are placed. I invite children ages 3, 4, 5, and 6 to line up behind the children's liturgist.
Book of Numbers. The Lord said to Moses, "Gather for me 70 of the elders of the people, and they shall bear the burden of the people along with you, so that you do not bear it all by yourself." Then the Lord came down in a cloud, took some of the spirit that was on Moses, and put it on the 70 elders. When the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. Two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the Spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent. And so they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." Joshua, son of Nun, the assistant of Moses, one of the chosen men, said, "My lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to them, "Are you jealous for my sake? What would all that the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them?" The word of the Lord.
Lord, you have the words of everlasting life. Lord, you have the words. everlasting life. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The Lord's rule is to be trusted, the simple find wisdom. Lord, you have the words of everlasting life. The fear of the Lord is holy, abiding forever. The decrees of the Lord are true, all of them just. Lord, you have the words of everlasting life. The precepts of the Lord are right, they gladden the heart. The command of the Lord is clear, giving light to the eye. Lord, you have the words of everlasting life. They are worth more than gold, than the finest gold, sweeter than honey, than honey from the comb. Lord, you have the words of everlasting life.
A reading from the letter of James. Come now, you rich people, weep and wail for the miseries that are coming to you. Your riches have rotten, and your clothes are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have rusted, and their rust will be evident against you, and it will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure for the last days. Listen, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and in pleasure. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous one who does not resist you. The word of the Lord.
Let's sing unto the Lord, alleluia. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
Let's sing unto the Lord, alleluia.
Your word, O Lord, is truth. Consecrate us in this truth.
Alleluia.
Alleluia. Let's sing unto the Lord. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
Alleluia. Let's sing unto the Lord.
Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark. John came up to Jesus and said to him, "There is a certain man who was casting out demons in your name. We told him to stop because he was not one of our group. Jesus said to them, anyone who does a work of power in my name cannot speak evil against me. If he is not against you, he is with you. And I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of cold water because you belong to the Messiah, that person will not lose his reward. But on the contrary, everyone who causes one of these least ones to stumble, it would be better for that one if he were thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around his neck. So I tell you, if your right hand is the cause of sin, cut it off. It is better for you to go into the kingdom with one hand than with two hands to be thrown into the fire of Gehenna, a fire that never ends. And if your foot is the cause of your sin, cut it off. It would be better for you to go into the kingdom with one foot than be thrown into the fire of Gehenna with two feet. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It would be better for you to go into the kingdom with one eye than to be thrown into the fire with two eyes. A fire where the worm never dies and the flame is never extinguished. The Gospel of the Lord. The story of the gospel this week is filled, it's just replete with so many teachings. The beginning teaching is about the Word of God and the power of God and the Spirit of God. John becomes frustrated, he becomes angry, he becomes defensive because somebody who is not part of their group, not part of their discipleship, not part of their organization. Somebody who is not one of them is casting out spirits, is casting out demons in the name of Jesus. And he says to the man, you can't do that. This is just for us. You can't have that power. That power is ours. How dare you use the name of Jesus? We're the ones who have the right to that. And what Jesus tells him is that no one has control on the Spirit of God. No one can imprison the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will work where the Spirit of God works. And as disciples, you are to look for the Spirit. And when you find someone doing the works of the Spirit, that person is your ally. So it doesn't make any difference where the person comes from. It doesn't make any difference where the person's history has been. It doesn't make any difference about anything other than what the person does. And so Jesus says, if someone gives you so little as a cup of cold water because you're my disciple, I assure you that person will never, ever be denied his reward. To give a cup of cold water. Throughout history, that act has in many ways been the sign of holiness and sanctity. There's a story told about a poet named William Sidney. In 1556, he was wounded in battle, deeply wounded. And as he lay on the battlefield, and as he cried out in pain, he asked for a cup of water. And a cup of water was brought to him. And as he was about to drink the cup of water, he noticed men carrying another wounded soldier. However, this man was much more seriously wounded. And William Sidney reached up and gave the cup of water. And his final words were, "Your necessity is greater than mine." He went to his death with those words on his lips. "Your necessity is greater than mine." It's the act of a saint. There's a gentleman by the name he's an author. And in 2004, he wrote a book called Jesus in America. And part of that book, he tells a story about his friend who he had known from grade school days. And they reconnected. And they reconnected in Europe. And they were going to go to Algeria over Christmas. And so they left by the port of Marseille to travel across the Mediterranean. It would be a day's journey, an all-night journey. Also on the boat were many, many, many Algerian nationals who were working throughout Europe and who were going home for Christmas. Well, in the course of the night, a great storm arose. And people began to scream out from fear. And people became very sick. And the fellow who's telling the story said he just crawled deeper into his sleeping bag and closed his ears so that he wouldn't hear all these Algerians screaming. And he stayed in the sleeping bag for about 5 minutes, and then he began to suffocate, so he put his head outside the sleeping bag. And he noticed that his friend was no longer there. And he got up and he went looking for him. He thought maybe he had gone to the lavatory. And as he approached the lavatory, one of the Algerians said, no, he's over there. And he looked over and he saw his friend. And his friend was giving cold water to the sick. He had been going back and forth from the water fountain, bringing water to those who were sick. And the author says, there are some people who get it right. There are some people who naturally understand what the right thing to do is, what the holy thing to do is. They're the saints. Then Jesus talks about the other side of the coin. It says, "Woe to you who cause someone to stumble. Woe for you who cause scandal." That's what the stumbling means. It's scandal. Scandal means to trip up. "Woe to you who put an obstacle in the path of someone else. An obstacle to holiness." Now, the obstacle Jesus is talking about is not a huge boulder. No one ever stumbles over a boulder. Or if you do, there's something wrong. No one ever stumbles over a boulder. What people do is, though, they trip on a little stone. He's a fireman, that's why he's going. There are boulders all over Delaware Avenue. I haven't tripped on a boulder yet, but I've fallen down twice by tripping on a stone. Jesus says, you can't do that. You can't lay the stone in the road that the person's going to trip on. What kind of sin is Jesus talking about? Well, when we began prayer this morning, and we asked for God's mercy, the prayer I used is the prayer that our Jewish brothers and sisters, our neighbors, we'll pray tomorrow on the day of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. They will say, We have sinned against you, O God, by rashly judging others, by being selfish, by being stubborn, through gossip, through hatred, through giving in to despair. You'd say, well, these are not the great sins. This is not like murder or grand theft. I mean, these are picky little sins. And Jesus says, no. These are the big sins. Because these are the sins that poison the soul. Rash judgment. I believe I'm better than my neighbor. Selfishness. I believe I come first. Stubbornness. I'm the only one who's got the answer. Gossip is character assassination. Giving in to hopelessness, despair. Those are the things that poison the human soul. And what Jesus is saying is when you do those things, and you do them in such a way to give respectability to that, then you cause your neighbor to stumble, and you are the occasion of your neighbor's sin. So he says if you use your hands or your feet or your eyes to do that kind of thing, then cut them off. Now the image Jesus uses is graphic. Gehenna is a real place. Southwest of Jerusalem, just outside the city, there is a valley. And in that valley, at one time, the worship of Baal took place. And in that valley, at one time, the worship of Moloch took place. And the worship of Moloch included the murder of children. And in Jesus' time, that place was a dump. All the refuse of the city was piled in that valley and burned. And that fire never, ever went out. Day after day, month after month, year after year, that fire smoldered and burned as more garbage was thrown on top. And the stench was such that if people drew too near, they would pass out. Jesus says, it would be better for you to end up in the dump than to put a stumbling block in the way of another. That's powerful. That's powerful. Well, Jesus calls us to be saints. And He calls us to be able to see the working of the Spirit, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of the people around us and the events around us. And He calls us in simplicity to recognize that even one who gives a little cup of water to someone else, in Jesus' name, that person is doing the work of holiness. And He invites us to be tolerant with each other, to be willingness to share with each other, to see my neighbor as important as me. To be willing to bend and to compromise and to step back from stubbornness. To refuse to use my tongue to destroy my neighbor's reputation. And to no matter what happens, to not lose hope, but to cling to hope. And in doing that, rather than putting a stumbling block, the road becomes clear, the way becomes wide, and one's neighbor can walk unimpeded. We come before the Lord, and that's what we pray for today, the gift to be as Jesus calls us to be. We turn to the Lord God in faith as we pray. We pray for the church that we may respond to the gifts of the Spirit and be prophets of God in our time. We pray. For the grace of discipleship, that we may be faithful and loyal to Christ and not allow anything to lead us away from the path of truth. We pray. For all who exercise leadership in the church, that the Spirit will guide their efforts and motivate them so that the body of Christ may be strong in faith and united in love. We pray. For all young people, that God's Spirit will fill them with wisdom and understanding so that they may correctly perceive the values of life and not be seduced by wealth or fame or power. We pray. For our Jewish and Muslim sisters and brothers during their holy days, that God will touch their hearts, free their spirits, and guide them along the path of life. We pray. For the Church of Bucharest, for the success of young people and the growth of faith and the unity of all, we pray. Hail Mary. Bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Body of Christ. Body of Christ. On Saturday of this week, the annual parish meeting takes place. The meeting begins at 9:00 in the morning here in the church, and after some preliminary opening prayer and preliminary pieces, we will return then to downstairs. We will adjourn to downstairs, where the rest of the meeting will occur. In the back of church, on the table against the wall, there is an agenda for that meeting, and there is clipped to that agenda reports by every parish committee and ministry and society and organization about what they have accomplished over the past year, what their work has been over the past year. Because part of what the parish meeting is about is to establish the initiatives and directives for this coming year. So if you plan to attend that meeting, please take a copy of the agenda and the materials as a way of preparing for it. On Friday is the marathon for non-public schools, and there are young people at the door who would be happy to collect your contribution toward the marathon, the fundraiser. Now, these kids are incredibly excited about the fundraiser because their principal has told them that if they meet goal, then he will spend a day on the roof of the school. And the kids really want him up there. And in fact, some of them are really nasty. They're asking how we could decide if it was a rainy day for him to be up there. I also told them that if they make goal, and while the principal, Mr. Leeser, is up on the roof of the school, I'll provide them with a pizza party. So if they're going to have a good day if they can meet goal. So if you want to help them do that, they will be at the door. They'll be carrying signs like "Keep the principal on the roof" and things like that. And you may make a contribution to that effort.